Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
That's a bit of a tune, isn't it? It's Ciara Doherty here sitting in for Andrea, and you're very welcome to The Making Of, where we do a deep dive on some of our favourite albums to explore the stories behind them. What did the band really think of each other? Where did the inspiration from the songs come from? Do they all still speak? And here in studio to answer all of those questions and much more is Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Now, we heard there Red Morning Light from the Kings of Leon, who are headlining the main stage on Sunday at EP. That's a banger.
It is an absolute banger. And yes, of course, the timing, just getting ready for their Sunday night appearance at Electric Picnic. I thought about this for a while. They have 9 studio albums, and probably this is maybe a little bit off the beaten track, but it's where they came from. And for me, it sits in a place of time. It sits in the genesis of the band and where they were really coming from musically, as well as kind of who they were as people.
So they'd had an EP, but this was the debut album. This is what launched Kings of Leon.
Ciara, effectively what we had from 1999 till the release of this in 2003 was guys sitting in a basement jamming. And when I say guys, I mean four guys with the same surname. So 3 brothers and a cousin. And just for a little bit of extra confusion, they all go by their middle names. So Caleb, Nathan, Jared, and their cousin Matthew are actually Anthony, Ivan, Michael, and Cameron. And of course, the backstory is, it's almost like one of these things that you would make up, because it's they're literally the sons of a preacher man, a Pentecostal preacher from Tennessee going around preaching, and they came out of that world.
Okay, let's hear a little bit more of that preachery gospel music. Now, I can't quite hear that being played in the churches of the Deep South in America, but their father was a preacher, and it did seem to have influence.
Definitely. I mean, there's huge country influences here. There's southern rock. I mean, we can hear the sort of southern twang. I mean, you can say you could take the man out of the South, but not the South out of the man. And
thankfully,
you know, the interesting thing here, though, is although they did come from this very, very conservative religious background, their father actually gave up the religious life, and their parents broke up. And so, dare I say, there is influence of that life here, but there's also rebellion against it, which was experienced by their own family background as well.
And the name Kings of Leon is interesting. That's got a family link too, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. So their father is Ivan Leon, but actually they claim that it's actually the grandfather himself. Their grandfather was Leon. And again, I think a little bit of biblical reference here as well. Kings, as in one of the early books of the Old Testament. And actually, the name of the album, Youth and Young Manhood, comes from Exodus, a story about Moses. So definitely biblical roots here.
And they actually got signed after they moved pretty quickly, didn't they? I mean, you said in 99 they're sitting in their basement, but by 2002 RCA had signed them.
They had signed them, and there was, I mean, what I'm going to tell you is there was definitely a huge kind of opening, dare I say, in the market here. They didn't initially set America on fire by any stretch of the imagination, but there was a huge revival in kind of folky rock. So around this time, about 2 months before this album is released, you have the White Stripes, Elephant, not too far away, you've got the Strokes, you've got bands like Kasabian, the Killers, Franz Ferdinand, the Strokes, of course. Some people describe the Kings of Leon as their early work as being country strokes, and their later work as being country U2. I don't know if that's a bit of a jibe, but maybe the band,
is that meant to be an insult?
I don't know if you can insult a band after a career of 26 years that they've done extremely well.
Okay, let's listen to Wasted Time. I have to say, I came to Kings of Leon a bit late. I'm more of the Use Somebody, Sex and Fire. Yeah.
And that's where their huge international success came from. And that's where they broke the American music scene as well. So, I mean, their second album, Aha Shake, Heartbreak, very, very good. A little bit more indie rock. then became Because of the Times, and followed by Only by the Night, which where we saw Sex on Fire and indeed Use Somebody. And very different sound. Maybe that's what people are talking about. They became more of a stadium-friendly rock band. This is a band, this last song, this is a band leaving it all in the room. You know, it's that we're hungry. This is who we are. Like us, love us, lump us. It's just grimy, it's gritty, and you can practically smell the pickup truck.
Yeah, you can. I was listening to it in my kitchen yesterday with the headphones on, and I thought, there's actually like a rock and roll vibe here. I wanted to dance to it, and there was a grittiness and a rawness, but it was favourably received, but not sort of a runaway success. There wasn't huge critical acclaim for this debut album.
It did incredibly well on this side of the Atlantic. It reached number three in the UK charts. Going back and showing my age here, I can remember there was a big push for this album because I saw ads for it on the television, and they were being heralded as, you know, the new saviors of rock kind of thing. So it did very well on this side of the Atlantic. It also it did very well in Australia too, but America was not quite ready for another version of, and I'm not being unkind, but you can hear the Lynyrd Skynyrd southern drawl here. And maybe we were still listening to our Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam. I don't know.
They did support Pearl Jam, didn't they?
And
U2 and Bob Dylan. So you could see that some of those major artists could see the quality in this band.
Absolutely. U2, Bono was a huge fan. He'd seen them, I think, on Saturday Night Live, and he called them up and said, "Do you want to open for me?" So, you know, I mean, they're on their way.
That's but a phone call you want to get, isn't it?
Exactly. And I like this album because it is it's part of the journey. It's where they started. You hear the people they are, and maybe a little bit of who they want to become.
Let's listen to our fourth song. That is a good sound.
Tell me your foot isn't tapping to that, Kira. It's
and
a
the rest.
And it's got the kind of odd religious reference, Holy Roller, combined with Novocaine, and it's a lovely piece of quirk, and you can just sort of ease into it and just allow yourself to enjoy a song like this. It, who knows? I mean, I'm sure there are deep and meaningful theories as to what it's about, but it's just a fabulous bit of rock and roll quirk.
I mean, the later song that I spoke of that I think people will be familiar with, Sex on Fire, Use Somebody, some of their fans really disliked that. That was actually more panned critically, wasn't it? Even though it gave them huge commercial success.
Dare I say, there was a sense that they had had a significant trip to the salon. If you actually look at the how they looked in this first album, they are hairy Southern guys with beards, moustaches, and
I love a vintage clothing and vintage shops.
They just look like guys who had fallen out of the '70s, you know, and were part of, you know, they'd literally, you know, come through a time machine of Southern rock. And yeah, they tidied themselves up, and whatever we say about it, we can become cynical and say they were managed or pushed towards this. I don't know. I think they grew up a little bit, they matured, and how can you just keep doing the same thing? Look at all of the great bands. They always reinvent themselves.
So you kind of have to if you
maybe
want to stay relevant.
Sometimes a haircut.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you've lost all your musical abilities. I mean, you did mention at the beginning that there are brothers and a cousin here, a family dynamic, and we've just seen Oasis, Storm, Dublin. We know what happens with family dynamics. Do they all still get on?
The jury is out. The rumour is that they don't really get on. But I mean, in terms of family dynamics, I think we can all relate to the idea of having to spend very long periods of time in close proximity. And if you're a band, that is a necessity. So no, there is. I think there have been some well-documented pretty strife amongst them. But I return to this album and I say, look at where these guys came from. Look at where they are now and what a journey it's been.
Oh, Alan Buckley, you've made me excited for Electric Picnic, even though I'm not actually going this weekend. I hope they play some of those bangers there. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's go out on Molly's Chambers. You want it, she's got it. Molly Temple gonna change her
mind. She's got you. Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday. On News Talk.